Galatians chapter 6. We're looking at verses 6 through 10, but mainly at verse 6. We'll read these verses together. Galatians 6 and verse 6. The apostle says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, the title of my message this evening is The Teaching and the Communication by Love. Spiritual teaching and communication by love. Now, let us remember that the apostle here in this final chapter of the book of Galatians is giving us the outward expression or the attitude of every believer's heart as we walk in the Spirit. How many times has he's told us this? Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us live in and by the Spirit of God. And we know that that is nothing more or less than faith in Christ. And as believers are led by the Spirit, as we believe in Jesus Christ, this will be our heart. This will be the fruit of the Spirit in every believer. In every believer. God will work out this grace that He has worked in your heart. So in verses 1 through 5, the apostle testifies of the believer's attitude toward other saints, toward those who have fallen into sin. Remember this, he said, "Brethren," in verse 1, "if any man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted." Now remember that this congregation in Galatia had been overtaken by legalists. Those who have come in saying that you must be saved by Jesus Christ, you must be born again of the Spirit, but you must finish your salvation and be justified by your obedience to the law. That's what they had been. And Christ began this work, but you have to finish it. This gospel is so opposed to the true gospel that Paul had preached to them. It's so opposite. Remember at the very beginning, he said, it's another gospel altogether. It's not even the same gospel. It's altogether different. And he told them who are believers, those who believe in salvation by Christ, plus their work, plus their rituals, plus their obedience to the law. What did he say? He said, "Christ shall profit you nothing." Now consider that most modern religion is totally based on that premise, that Christ begins the work and you finish it. Therefore, according to the apostle, most modern religion, Christ profits them nothing. Matter of fact, in chapter 5, verse 2, it's what he said. "I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become no effect to you." Listen, whosoever, I don't care who you are, I don't care what degrees you hold, Doesn't matter what position in the church you hold. Preacher, deacon, doesn't matter. Whosoever you are, if you're justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. But listen, our hope, what separates us is found in verse 5 of chapter 5. Listen to this. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Our righteousness is where? Where is your righteousness? It's in Christ. I like this hymn. It says, in Christ we have a righteousness by God Himself approved. My hope, my sure foundation, this, that never can be moved. We are born of the Holy Spirit. We have a righteousness in Christ. And that righteousness He has imparted to every one of us in the new nature. But yet the old man of sin, the old man of sin is not yet done away with. We've not yet experienced the full measure of that righteousness. None of us have. We as of yet cannot by any effort of ourselves manifest that righteousness. You realize that? Nothing you can do can manifest that righteousness. Why? Sin is mixed with all we do. We can't even manifest what we want. We want to manifest righteousness that He's put in us, but we can't. And so we confess like Paul, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Yet, what are we doing? We wait. We wait. We wait for the righteousness that Christ has accomplished by His faith and imparted to us. We wait. How are you waiting? Tonight you are waiting. You are waiting. You have righteousness in Christ. You have righteousness imparted to you in the new nature. And yet now we are waiting for that righteousness. Whereas the legalist is trying to earn it. We're waiting for it. We know this, we can't earn it in this life, in this flesh, in this body. We can't even manifest it. Our difference is this, we're waiting for it. We're waiting for the full manifestation of this righteousness. And so those who are seeking to come by law and grace will always, listen, you can sniff them out by this, one word, pride. The legalist is always manifested by pride. That is the chief root sin of the legalist, is pride, arrogance. Those who believe in works and grace will always have a sense of pride in their attitude toward those who are fallen. Especially toward those who have fallen. Law and works religion always moves the natural man to pride. But we who are saved by grace are moved to what? Meekness. Those who fully understand, those who know how it is we are saved, who we really are, and what God has really done, our religion moves us to grace, mercy. When one embraces the law as his hope for justification, it is clear to us that they have such a high view of themselves. They have such a high view of themselves that man is completely unaware of his own vile, corrupt nature and the holiness of God. Anyone who has pride in themselves, so as to be able to look down upon a fallen brethren, that man thinks awful highly of himself, too highly of himself. He is completely ignorant of the nature of the law and absolutely unaware of his inability to keep it. Therefore, when one claims to believe on Christ and yet his sin is exposed before men, the legalist then will presume himself to be superior. Isn't that right? They'll always presume themselves to be superior to the one that's fallen. Matter of fact, that's how they measure their religion, based on the fall of other men. Paul said, don't let that happen among you. You are walking in the Spirit. That's not how we act. That's not how we're to act toward our fallen brethren. So then Paul says that if any man is truly living and walking by faith in Christ, then that man will in his own soul seek not to crush his brother, but to restore him. To restore him. You who are spiritual. You are spiritual. Restore such an one. You who fully understand who you are and what Christ has done, you should be able with meekness to restore that man. You should seek to restore that fallen brethren. Why? Considering yourselves. Considering our own sin nature. Our own corruption. If grace has surely been manifest to our soul that God, in spite of our own vile, corrupt nature that deserved only His vengeance, but instead gave us grace, how much grace should we give to our brethren? Can you measure it? Can you measure how much grace God has given to you? That is exactly how much grace we should give our brethren. How much mercy, how much forgiveness we should give each other. This is what the measure of a man walking in the Spirit is. Love. Love. Meekness. Why? Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. And God in mercy quickened us together with Christ. When? While you were dead. While we were dead in sins, God quickened us together with Christ. And in time, He came to us. By grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourself. Not even our faith is of ourselves. You believe today. Why? Because of grace. Because of mercy of God you believe. And if you ever continue to believe past this point, it will be the grace of God. This doctrine of God's free grace. If we are ever taught by God, if we ever receive grace aright, we ought not by any means produce any pride in ourselves. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou received? Was it not by grace you received it? Then why would we ever act like we didn't receive it by grace? This is what it is to walk by faith. This is what it is to walk in the Spirit. It is an attitude of grace in the objects of grace. It is to restore, to forgive, and to love even as God for Christ's sake loved and forgave us. Even so we should do to every one of our brethren. And so then, Paul says, such believers should bear under one another's burdens. And what do we do by that? He said, so you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is two things. It's not the law of Moses, not the Ten Commandments. That's not the law of Christ. Every believer is not under the law of Moses in any measure whatsoever. Not one law in the law of Moses are we under. We are under the law of Christ, which is two things. Love and faith. Remember, Paul says, where is boasting? He said, I came to declare the righteousness of God, which you didn't earn. Yet it's freely given to you. I declare that gospel unto you. That Jesus Christ might be the just and the justifier of the ungodly. Where then is boasting? It is excluded by what law? Here it is. The law of faith. The law of faith. That's what excludes boasting. There's no boasting here. None of us have any room to boast. None of us have anything to boast in save the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I desire not to boast in anything save the cross of Jesus Christ. So then let me ask you this. Is it not reasonable that the fruit of meekness should be seen in those that possess it. If you have that fruit, isn't it just reasonable that it should be seen? That it should be expressed, that it should be manifest by our love and forgiveness of other brethren. Is it possible then for one to be saved by grace and yet have pride? Can that be possible? I tell you, that flesh is full of it. There's no doubt about that. But the believer that walks in the Spirit seeks nothing more than to kill pride. Because he knows there is nothing in him that would ever give him an advantage over any other. No, we who are led by the Spirit should walk in the Spirit. We should live in the Spirit. Now with that in mind, because that's the background of our text. And I want you to see that He is really putting this to us. He's really telling us. This is what it is. This is an outward expression of God working in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. Now then we get to verse 6. He says this, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now I got two points. First of all, teaching. Spiritual teaching. That's what is mentioned here, teaching the Word. First of all, what is taught? You that are taught, what are you taught? And secondly, how you taught? How was it taught to you? And my second main point is this. What is this? What is the heart of one who is taught the Word of God? Let's go through these together. Paul here speaking to you who are believers in Christ, that what profess to walk in faith, he said this, "Let him that is taught in the Word." What is it to be taught in the Word? What is that? The gospel. You that are taught the gospel of God. Now we know this. No man by nature can be taught the gospel of God naturally. This can't be done. No man can understand the gospel of God by nature. You remember, we by nature were fully and completely incapable of ever understanding the gospel of Christ. And even so it is with all of Adam's race. And go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to stay here for just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul begins this chapter when he says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He was sent to declare something to these people. He was sent with a message of God to these people. And here it is in verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you except what God told me to declare to you." And what is that? "Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's a testimony of God. He was to declare. And Paul did this because God commissioned him to. God commanded him to preach. And by the preaching of this gospel, God has chosen to save sinners, and by no other means than this. This is why He was sent to do it. Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power, Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see the meekness of the apostle here? The meekness is this. Look, I came to you with no ability in myself. Weakness and fear and trembling. And I didn't come with man's wisdom. I didn't come like everybody else came to you. In meekness he said this. I came to preach the gospel to you. He lacked both the power and the ability to preach. But what God commanded him to do, he did anyway. He preached to them. Verse 6, howbeit, even though this is so, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that's mature, those that are born of the Spirit of God. Yet our wisdom is what? It's not of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written. Look how sure this is. Look how positive this is. This is exactly what happened when Christ came. The princes of the world cast him out. The princes of the world crucified him. Why? Because they could not understand. They did not see who he was. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Oh, but here's some good news. But God hath revealed them unto us. Now how? How was Paul taught? By his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Don't you know this gospel is a mystery to the world? A mystery. I've told you this before. So one of the members of the Southern Baptist curriculum writing people told one of my mother was talking with her, and she said, we don't need to preach the gospel. Everyone already knows the gospel. Why do you think they're not preaching the gospel? First of all, they're not preaching because they don't know it. If they knew it, they wouldn't preach anything else. But they're in pride, assume that everybody knows it because it's just so simple. That anybody can learn this. Anybody can pick this up. What did Paul say? I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man any of this. Any of this. They cannot know it. The best that man could do is salvation by works. They take the work of Christ that is perfect, that is accomplished, that is finished, and every one of them add to it their work, their will, their ceremony, their ritual, anything. They'll add something to it. That's the best man could do. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You got that? Man can know what? What's in you. What's in you? Sin. That's all you can know. You can't know anything else. But what's in God, God knows. The Spirit of God. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things we also speak, not as the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here it is, but the natural man receiveth not. Now this is an active rejection. He receiveth not. You tell him, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's just exactly what Paul said right there. The natural man will not receive the things of God. Listen, why will he not receive them? Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Why? Neither can he know them. Because he is spiritually judged, spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. He cannot and he will not receive the things of God. Now the words of the gospel. Now friends, you who are believers, I would agree with this point. The gospel is the most simple thing to understand. To you and me that know it, it's simple. And I'm not just saying simple. It's simple academically, even for the natural man to get. The words we're using are not complex, are they? The sentence structures that I use are very simple. They're very plain. They're not hard to understand. Listen to this. Tell me if you misunderstand this. God the Father chose a people before the foundation of the world. Anybody misunderstand that? Can you miss? Now, you won't receive it. Now, that's true. Men won't receive it. But they don't tell me you can't understand what that means in your head. It's very simple. That He chose us out of sovereign love and free grace and not based on any works in us whatsoever. Any words in there too hard? Anything? How about this? The Son of God, representing all the elect, became responsible for their salvation. Anybody miss that? He became responsible for their salvation. Came into the world and actually accomplished their salvation. Did I lose anybody? I'm losing anybody? He accomplished their salvation. He finished it. He made them perfect. They're totally redeemed. Absolutely. He ascended to heaven, sits on the throne of God, ruling over all things for one purpose. That He might gather everyone that the Father gave Him. Anything? Anybody missing this? How does He gather them? By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes in time at the appointed time, and He calls them and He quickens them and He brings them by faith to Himself, and they all repent, they all believe, and they believe until the end. Am I missing anybody? Now, all of these elect, by nature, just like everybody else. Just as vile and corrupt as their neighbor. Just as vile and corrupt as the worst among us. Not one of us are any better than anybody else. We are all by nature unable and unwilling. We cannot receive the things of God. We will not receive the things of God. They are foolishness unto us. Until when? Until the Spirit of God comes and teaches us, quickens us to life from the dead. And when He does, what happens? We don't just get this in here. It becomes one with us. It is true. Everything that God says about me is true. Everything God says about Christ is true. And I believe with all my soul that He is all my salvation. Who taught you that? You that are taught, who taught you? Paul says we were taught of God. We receive these things from the Spirit of God. You that are taught, how are you taught? You were taught by God. Taught by God. Isn't that what Jesus said? Is that not what the Lord said? No man can come unto me. See how simple that words are? Those words are plain, aren't they? They're very plain words. No theologian needed to interpret such a wonderful word. No man can come unto me except... Oh, good. I'm glad. There's an exception. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, as it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father, what do? They come to me. Come to Him? You come to Him? Come to Him? Who taught you that? God. God taught you. You that are taught, you are taught of God. We're taught of God that our salvation is completely of grace. That there's no sense, no difference in us, in our morality, our goodness, our piety. The difference alone is in God. God made the difference. God opened our eyes. And we understand our need of an absolute Savior. Isn't that right? Do you not understand your need of an absolute Savior? What I mean by absolute Savior? I mean somebody that does everything for you. Everything. That there is nothing left for you to do. There's nothing left for you to apply. There's nothing left for you to add to it. An absolute Savior is what I need. And in Christ we find what? An absolute Savior. And we who are drawn by the grace of God, we receive these things, we surrender these things. But what means then does the Holy Spirit use? Because none of us were struck with lightning, none of us had an epiphany, none of us had a vision. How in the world were you taught by the Spirit of God? The preaching of the gospel. This is how you were taught of God. You that are taught, you were taught by God through a means. And that means is the preaching of the gospel. In fact, it is the only means God has chosen to reveal Himself to sinners. There is no other means. Let the flesh and men kick if they will and spit in the face of God. It is true that there is only one means. Paul said this. He said in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, he says in verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God." Why preaching? It pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness, what men call foolish. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so what do? When we preach the gospel to you, what do we say? We are just simply declaring what God says. Behold the love that drew salvation's plan. Behold the grace that brought it down to man. Behold the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We point you to Christ always, constantly. And we have this hope in our preaching that none of those that Christ died will perish, but they all will come to repentance. I'm very thankful for that, because if you were to look, if you were to just take things as they appear to be, you would think preaching is not successful. Nobody wants to hear this. Not in this world. Very few want to hear anything at all like this. But I know this. Paul says, we do always triumph. We do always triumph. This is God's chosen means. So faith, Paul said, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't this what God gives the churches? Isn't this the gift that Christ gives the church? He said He gave some apostles. I'm so thankful for the apostles, aren't you? When we got the Word of God because God gave us apostles. And no more apostles. Thank God for the apostles. He gave some prophets. Oh, wonderful prophets that we have had in time past where we can see Christ so plainly pictured in their Word. Some evangelists. I'm so thankful that God has sent out men into the world to preach His gospel all over the globe. And some pastor teachers. Same thing. Pastors and teachers are the same person. That's what we're here to do. We're here to plainly declare the Word of God to you through the preaching of the gospel. Paul says this, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest our savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." What is every preacher of the gospel to God? A sweet smell. A sweet smell. And listen, we are a savor unto God to them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are savor of death unto death. To the others we are savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for such things? Is there any pride in preachers? Should there be any pride or exaltation in that I am called to preach the gospel? Absolutely not. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you are. What I preach to you is exactly what I need. feed on the same food you feed on. I'm saved by the same Lord you're saved by. His blood washes me just as it washes you. You have the same righteousness of God that I do. There's nothing better about me. This is just an office, a gift. I'm a gift to you from God. And there's no boasting in me. Paul said, who in the world is sufficient for this? Who can be qualified for this? Not me. Only God. Only God gives these things. And we preach not as those who of the world. We preach not as many which corrupt the word of God, but in sincerity. As of God. Don't you realize that I am in the stead of God, beseeching you to believe on Christ, to trust in Christ? Now then, the second thing here, I want to go over this quickly. The attitude then of the saints toward those that preach the gospel. Read your text again, Galatians 6. Let him that is taught. How are you taught? You're taught by the Spirit of God and through the preaching of the gospel, God sending someone to teach you. Now then, what then is the spirit of everyone that is taught? He said this, that you communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now here the apostle reveals the fruit of the Spirit in the heart of everyone that is taught. What is it? Love. Everyone that is taught of God loves the one who teaches him. Communicates unto them. He is teaching us about giving. About giving. Communicating that which is good unto those that teach you the gospel. Now the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And what is giving but an expression of love? Isn't that right? When you love somebody, isn't that what... When I proposed to my wife, did I just propose or did I give her something? I gave her a ring. I gave her something of value. Showing my affection, showing my love. I gave that to her out of love. Isn't this what our Savior did? When he said this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Giving is an expression of love. Is it not? It is. Have you ever noticed how the Holy Spirit interchanges the word charity and love? Why? Because they're two sides of the same coin. You that are taught of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, I know this is your heart's desire to give and support those who preach the gospel to you. It is your heart. This is not something that you have to make up. This is what you desire. This is what you love to do. This is if we're walking in the Spirit, this is what we love to do. I want you to take this in because those that are commendable should be commended. Not to any elevation of your pride. I seek not to elevate your pride, but Paul commended those believers. And so I should commend you. I have not wanted for anything in 12 years I've been here. I have not lacked one thing from you. What a commendation for you. That I have not lacked one good thing since I've been here. You have absolutely taken care of me and my family. What a commendation of what? The Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God in you has done these things. Paul said this, we have sown in you spiritual things. Is it a great thing that we should reap carnal things from you? Is that too much of a leap? No, by no means. Why? Because the Lord hath ordained us who preach to live by the gospel. And that's what we do. We live by this gospel. We live by it. I know so many liars and false preachers try to bind burdens on God's people, trying to make them give. I
know you don't fully understand this, but in churches today, they're asking people before they join to give them their W-2 forms. I'm serious. This is not a joke. This is what people are doing. These liars and ministers of Satan, that's all you can say about them, putting the burdens on these people so that they have to give and tithe. What is that? Isn't Paul going against this whole idea of the law? And yet men are binding tithing into the church. I want you to pay attention to this. If you are tithing, stop it. Don't do it. Whatsoever God has laid on your heart, you give that freely. You're not under bondage or obligation. You should do that with a heart of love and affection because you're taught of God. If you are taught of God, and I'll tell you this, you should give as much as you value the gospel. Is that not reasonable? Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. I know the flesh kicks. And I know that this is not something you do without struggle. The flesh says, well, I have a family. I've got bills to pay. But if we're honest, we've never given more than we've given ourselves. Most likely we got bills because we've given in to something that we wanted in this world. We've overindulged ourselves in something. And I'll tell you this, if a man doesn't give to support the gospel, it's because he doesn't love it. Isn't that right? That's just simple words. They're just plain. I think about that woman who gave the mite. He said, you all gave out of your abundance. She gave out of her lack. She had nothing but the mite. And she gave it. Why? She loved God. She loved the gospel. And so then as we see this, and I want you to know this, it's not just money. That's what I'm not just talking about. That's why he didn't say, it's not why the apostle in our text, he didn't say this. He didn't say, let's go back to it, verse 6. He said, let them that is taught in word give money to him that teacheth. It's not what he said. He said, communicate what? All good things. You know what's a good thing? Your good prayers. I covet your prayers. Encouragement. I cannot tell you how much it grieves me. I sat under my pastor for years. And so many times the Spirit of God has touched my soul and I never communicated to him what great things God did for me. Those are encouraging words. Those are good things to communicate to your pastor. Those are things we need. Those are things that you need, is it not? Isn't that what you need? Encouragement, strength, comfort. Well, guess what? So do pastors. So do pastors. And, you know, I don't have much more. I'm going to just close it out. But I want us to say this. Look down in verse 9. The apostle says this, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I know your struggle with forgiving your brother, with bearing one another's burdens. Those are things that the Spirit of God moves us to do, yet there's always that struggle. And it becomes wearisome. And I'll tell you why. Because we've taken our eye off Christ and we've started looking at what we're doing. we start trusting in our giving and our love and our forgiveness, we're going to be weary in well-doing. If we're constantly walking in the Spirit, God will give you strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. So long as you walk in His strength and His love. Have you been taught? I pray you have. Then do what God has commanded in this. Out of love, communicate that which is good. And don't be weary. I know this. My God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I pray God will bless us and teach us. Teach us. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Our gracious